Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Listen in as we discuss all things business, growth, and marketing with business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs. And now, here's your host, founder of Roundhouse, the creative agency, Saul Edmonds.
Oh, hey, everyone. Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. I'm speaking with Janine Vosper today. Janine, how are you?
Terrific day today, Saul. I played golf this morning and played the best round of golf I have ever played. I had a net 62, which was pretty exciting. So it was a good morning.
And you've also probably been, I'm pretty sure, been the only person who's ever answered that question at the start of the podcast who's ever said how good their game of golf was. So that's and so that's a first.
Excellent.
That's like another first. I love a good sporting story. It's always like at whatever scale it is, it's always fun, right? Like,
oh, absolutely. And if you're having a good day doing anything that you enjoy, then you know it's a good day.
It is. That sounds overly simplified, but that's really true.
Yeah.
And so you obviously love what you do, don't you, Janine?
Every day.
And so tell people. I usually say at the start, like for people, there's going to be some people who are listening who know exactly what you do. But for the people who don't, could you please just give people, just paint them a picture about, or craft for them, perhaps a picture, so to speak, craft a picture about what you do and I guess why you do it, and then just a little short sort of intro as to how you got to this point.
Okay. The reason that you've said craft, for those that aren't watching but listening, on my back banner, I have craft your speaker story.
Oh, you've broken the illusion.
Craft your brand story. No, craft, that's an interesting word.
Why did he say it like that?
Absolutely. What I do, my background is working in sales for over 40 years, and I have been a speaker coach for 20 years, and I enable people to get very clear on their message and how they deliver that message, and if they deliver it in a way that people will be engaged because it's interesting. And telling stories is probably the best way to engage your audience because they like to follow along with you with a story. And all of that combined, and I do some social media as well, particularly with LinkedIn, is helping people stand out in their own personal brand. So who are you and why should people buy or deal with you or meet with you, have a conversation with you because of your individual brand, whether you are in your own business or you run a bigger business with staff, or you're even an employee or a professional. We all need to promote our own personal brand.
Mm. Interesting. So why at this point? You've been doing this for a while, right?
A
while. Okay. Yeah. So we won't elaborate unless you want to say like how long a while is. But before the while, you know, what was the precursor story with you that led you to this point? Have you been someone who has been like a writer or, you know, in sales or this mix of things? Like, how did it come to be at this point?
I've always been a user of words. Here am I going stumbling over those words, going, oh. Mostly it's as an orator, and I can find the words that are needed. And that's one of the things I absolutely love doing with clients is I hear the words they say, and then I help them use them in a way that is engaging, attractive. All through school, I was the kid in the class that could get the work done and get it done quickly. And, you know, usually it was a B+, A- type of level. And then I'd just start talking. And I would be annoying the rest of the kids who are still doing their work. Well, fortunately, you know, 50 plus 60 years later, I directed that skill into what I do. I have always I've always worked in sales, and one of the biggest sales jobs I ever had, I was an aerobic instructor for 10 years. And getting people to put their shoes on and get to the gym is one of the biggest sales aspects that you could have, because my focus is always on the people. It's never about how much I'll earn if I get more people in the room. It's why these people should be in the room for their own fitness. It's the same as I run my business now. I was repping for about a few years, and I took a business from zero to over $400,000 in sales in Band-Aids, basically going into industry, restocking their first aid kits, and then while studying management, moved into a GM role for the same company and took that company through GFC from three to over $10 million in sales a year, with working with the sales team to do exactly what I had been doing previously. And it was a real family business owner. There was still about 40 staff between three businesses. But the owner he really cared about staff. And I learnt that from him. And I remember one time we didn't have a lot of opportunity to train our reps a lot and spend a lot of time. It was basically, here's the stock, here's your list, go out and do this. And I remember one person we spent a great deal of time training, and then within a few weeks he realized that it wasn't for him, because sales and being in your own business is not for everybody, because you're constantly generating and you've got to motivate yourself. And I remember going to the owner of the business and saying, well, that was a bit of a waste of time and a waste of money training him, wasn't it? And he said, well, no, not really. Can you imagine if we didn't train him and he stayed? So that was a great learning for me as well. It's making sure.
Yeah, he's still thinking about what could have been. Like he's still like thinking about, that's interesting, isn't it? Because there is that tendency then when things that you didn't want to happen, that there's a certain, what's the right way to say it? Like, you know, complacency or just acceptance and going, oh, well, that's that. And then you sometimes like, then legitimize it by stuff that you didn't think before.
Yeah.
And go, oh, well, it was because of, you know, so-and-so, but he still had that view of that. Well, it could have been like this, which is absolutely true, of course. You know, it could have gone this way or this way.
And that's one of the things that, you know, I'm really adamant about now, and why it's so important if you've got teams or yourself to be constantly getting more knowledge and constantly learning and training. Because if you're not learning and you're not growing, which means you're dying. And that's just what happens to businesses and individuals who don't invest in themselves in knowledge. Well, from that GM role, I loved it, but I started my own business, Speech Perfect, in 2007 as a sideline, and I moved into it part-time, a five-day fortnight, still in the GM role for a couple of years, and then they brought in a new operations manager, and the whole thing changed, the whole energy, and I loved what I was doing with that business as well as with my own. I got paid extremely well, which anyone that's ever left a well-paid job to start their own business knows how important that is. I'd set up so much my own business prior, and it was that catalyst, you know, whatever your beliefs are, you know, I'll often say, well, the universe sent me someone to push me on my way. Yeah. And before I got unwell or, you know, anything traumatic happened, I will often say you can either get hit by a feather or a brick or a bus, depending on what decisions you make. And I was got hit by a feather, fortunately, and I just went, I don't need this. And I left that job in 2018 and been working full-time in my own business since then. So sometimes we need to really, you know, take that leap of faith, but I had prepared beforehand, so it wasn't just stepping into a nothingness.
Yeah, so you had already been having some sort of transition. Was that a actual transition or more of like a mental transition? You'd been thinking about it for a long time about how that was going to happen, or you were you had already been because you said, am I right in and saying you had already started your speech perfect a little bit.
Speech perfect.
And you were transitioning over, like sort of into like a little bit. And then,
correct.
That's so
I started doing. I started networking a lot, and I started the We Are Women Mastermind group, which is a monthly second Friday of the month in person in south side of Brisbane, and that's now been going 8 or 9 years. And women in small business get together, and I conduct this mastermind. I started the podcast, the We Are Women podcast, at the same time. So there was all of these steps. I had website done, you know, things that you need to invest in time and some energy prior. And it was just the, you know, the missing out on a really good income that it was the mental health then I really needed to go. I don't need the stress of that. I love Mondays, you know, in your own business. Mondays are awesome. Every Monday I get up and go, I love Mondays. This is so good.
It's true. Yeah. Cause I sort of went through, I don't know about you, but I can't remember how long for exactly. I just remember that this has been a thing in the past where, you know, being in our own business for a long time now, like over 20 years, there was a point where I used to sort of say, oh, it's like a blur between like the week and the weekend. And there was like this sort of, and I didn't like it or not like it. I just kind of accepted it. But there was a certain kind of part of me that liked that. And I'm not sure even really why, but I was like, oh, because it's our business. And I didn't really think it. But like in more recent years, and I think I've often tried to analyze this, I've actually looked forward much more than I ever have before to like that, like the weekend thing of like looking forward to the weekend, even if the weekend ends up sort of being in a different part of the week, like I still go, oh, that's my weekend, and it might be 2 or 3 days or 1 day, but I still know what it is. And I never used to do that before. And I think maybe that was, you know, just a shift in thinking. And, but I've often sort of, I haven't spent too much time thinking about it because it kind of hurts my head. If I start to overthink it, and then I come like, why am I doing that? Like, don't worry about it. So just like listen to an audiobook or something. Just relax. But
I remember when I first went into Loganholme Shopping Centre on a weekday, and when I wasn't working in a job, and I'm looking around and I'm thinking, there's so many people here through the day.
Yeah, that's funny.
And I felt like I was wagging it. It took me quite a while to get over that feeling that I should be doing something. It was quite bizarre. And, you know, I've worked my entire life. I've been very fortunate in having things that I love, from the aerobics all the way through. And so I've always worked, and I've worked, chosen and developed careers that fitted with my children. When I was looking for something that would fit with them when they were young, I trained as a fitness leader to do aerobics and through their primary school years, then did the management and trained as a rep. So I had a bit of flexibility in the rep role. And then by the time they were teenagers and gone, then I was in that GM role. And now it's full circle. I've got quite a bit of flexibility in my diary anyway. I choose whatever I want to do. As you said, I was playing golf today and with my grandchildren. So I can choose that if I'm not a babysitter, but I like fun days with them.
Yeah. And so it's still all been, but even though you've had all those different roles, like you had, as you explained before, it's sort of been tied together with this thing around people and communication, and it's manifested itself in other things. It's funny, isn't it? Because I've sometimes reflected on, you know, certain realizations you have where you think, oh, okay, I'm a business owner and I've been doing that for X amount of years. And before that, when I think about my own sort of story, I don't have this thought anymore because I had this realization, which was that, oh, I didn't really have any like small business experience before we had our own business. And then one day, some years ago, when I was thinking, I was like, actually, no, that's not true. I've actually had lots. I've had, like, from a very early age, like my mum and dad had a corner store when I was at primary school, and I was around and I would see them running that, and I would see them ordering things. And then after high school, my mum bought this other corner store, and then I had a year or so off and I ran it and I did all the ordering. And then I also ran the art supply store at the Queensland College of Art. And then even in my main job that I was in for 10 years before we ran our own business, it was a very small business. And I realized, especially with that one, I was like slowly but surely just absorbing all this information, because I was very autonomous and I ended up having to do various management things. There was only like a few people in the business at a rubber stamp place, and I had a certain role, but like everyone was doing a lot of stuff. And I was like, and I really enjoyed that job. It wasn't great pay or anything, but I really enjoyed it. And on reflection, I was like, I learned stacks of stuff there. So then it's like, actually, there was a bunch of things that led to that point that made me a lot more experienced than I thought. I mean, nothing quite prepares you then for certain realities on the ground when you're like, yeah, actually running your own business.
Yeah,
like,
that reality.
It's still kind of different. So I didn't like walk in and go, oh, yes, you know, I wonder why I feel so comfortable. No, that wasn't really the case. But like, still learn heaps of things. But so now, like, when you're doing your work about personal branding, the thing that I wanted to sort of ask your thoughts on is, it's I'm not sure if I'd call it a phenomenon. That's probably going too far. But like in recent years, I'm pretty sure it's not just me thinking about it. It seems to be this real sort of upsurge in discussion around people talking about, you know, more information around personal branding. And mm-hmm. I've thought, and I first of all wanted to get your thoughts as to whether you think that is the case too, like being in this area, like in that, yeah, it's not like a new thing, I'm not saying that, but that it's more like, it's, I guess people are across it more generally, like branding, like the term branding too, people know what that is more than they used to.
Yeah, often people, when you say branding, they think of colours and logos. I mean, yeah, that's usually the first thought that people identify with. And it's really interesting. A lot of people will spend quite a bit of money up front in their business doing a logo and a colours, which colours, that's really important. But when you're first starting out in business, there's a lot more things that would be of value to invest in than that. It's getting who you are, why you do what you do, and what outcomes people have to work with you is a lot more important, because that's going to bring clients in, not a pretty logo. Saying that, I think why branding has really come to the forefront and why there's priority, there's a couple of reasons. We deal a lot now with so-called influencers, and people who, if they eat a particular piece of cherry tart, then everyone in the world is going to eat a piece of cherry tart because they've done that. And that, to me, and this is personal opinion, is very fake sort of branding. It's just people who look good, usually, they have an artificial look, but they can influence people by their behavior and followers, and it's an artificial type of branding, whereas the personal branding that I help people do is to get very, very real in their communication, who they are and what they stand for. And it's since we had lockdowns and people went back to buying locally, I think this has become even more important and of more value, that you are seen as a real person, and that what you say and who you are, and particularly if you are local to a certain area, then it's important that you demonstrate that and you know how to communicate exactly that.
I think too, I mean, I would also add to that, that, you know, outside of the influencer thing and outside of, you know, some other factors, like a big thing that I feel plays a part in maybe putting more emphasis and people's focus more on things like personal branding, because that's, you know, it's a focus on, you know, reflecting on who you are as a business owner, or you know, in networking circles and speaking and all the different things that you talk to people about. But because of the contrast between that and the huge influx of really kind of, you know, fake information on the internet, which is so vast, that in like a range of different sort of areas, that that's, you know, it's like it's a really, it's a big part of culture now, and people rightly, like there's a right to be concerned about like what that means, because everybody's kind of vulnerable, like in whether it's, you know, scams, whether it's identity theft, whether it's like, you know, you name it, like there's a whole heap of errors. So I think that general amorphous like mix of other things, for me, it's, it seems to be and I'm sort of maybe more people like yourself too out there as well, like it's a mix of different things, right? Like it's, yeah, but from my perspective as a person who does visual branding, what's actually most, or you know, maybe not most but super important, is those foundations behind it, like the things you're talking about, because you can have a great looking, a logo, which is not the brand anyway, that's just one little sort of aspect, but like the foundation of, you know, good content, well written content, and then the fundamental ideas behind it, you know, that you'd probably be helping people with too, that helps people actually understand both themselves and then their business, because they're often intertwined. You know, there's those two, and I mean, sometimes they're not too, but like there's, it, it helps people reflect like on that. And then it actually helps in my experience when we, you know, work with people who are doing other sort of content, it's incredibly important to have that first sort of step nailed down, or at least like thought through pretty well. Like it's going to probably evolve and sort of change like all these things do. But like to have that done first, because, you know, you've got underlying philosophy behind it, instead of just going, I like blue, or someone told me that blue equals trust, or someone said that this equals this. And I mean, there's, yeah, I mean, there's truth in those things, but they're not an island on their own. They're not like, well, therefore, you know, this is your brand. It's like, no, you've got to have these. It's like house without a good firm foundation. Like it's going to sink eventually.
Yeah, I love that analogy with the foundation. And for those who are looking at my logo here, it's in the background. It's that is orange and navy. Now, a couple of things. If you can see what colors I'm wearing, it's orange and navy. It's my favorite colors. My granddaughter, 6-year-old, she said, Nina, what's your favorite color? And I said, come and have a look at this. And I opened my wardrobe up and she said, orange. Yes, orange is my favorite color, but it is also effervescent. You know, it's vibrant. It's got a lot of energy behind it.
So I assume that you like our logo then, Janine, which is also orange.
Oh, I can't see yours on here. And I did see it.
Yeah, it's on. If you go to our website, you'll probably like orange. I love orange.
Yes, yeah. Anything orange, it attracts me to it. And then again, the navy is a great contrast with the colours. But it's also is that, as you said, the banking type of space is his. Trust me, this is the navy part. But it's again, it's the clothes and colours that I love to wear, and I help on that. And part of that branding and that story is once a year I run a branding retreat with a stylist and a photographer. and I teach people how to write their story, and then I edit it. And what you're saying, these personal stories, we then create a storybook. They get the styling tips and information, and then they get the photograph and tips on how to be photographed as well. But the whole thing then creates a 4-page styling book. But it's that story that people, I'm so blessed with the things that they share that are very, very real and who they are. And I'm thinking the retreat we ran in May this year, I had a couple of accountants on, and whenever I talk to accountants, they go, oh, they're just accountants. Their stories are bland. It's not.
Yeah.
But they're, when you know how to write something and they very generously in a safe space give a lot of information, then in some cases, in these cases, had to pull it back a little bit because it was way too personal, but still have the essence of what it was, that it's in the struggles that they've gone through then enabled them to be able to recognize for clients who are going through struggles. You know, so that's the sort of thing is to bring back.
That's quite a skill, Janine, though, too, because I know, like, from the – because as you're saying that, I'm like, oh, that's actually like a lot of visual things. It's like people sharing things. And because like our job is, you know, is obviously to create and then also to filter and then go, okay, there's like then to match that with certain expectations that the general public or their clients expect. So there's a certain like element of knowing what things are acceptable and not acceptable, and then to be able to weave those things together in, you know, auditory way, writing or visual or like any way that is meant to represent, you know, that person and their business in the right way is really, like, personally, I always find it like it's always that exciting challenge, and sometimes it's more tricky than other ones, obviously. Especially when then, like you said, like somebody has been like open enough and sort of nice enough to share it, and then working out how much of that, because they've like, you know, there you go, and you've got all this like information, and there's sometimes an implied expectation that just sort of to illustrate that and to put it out there without thinking of like the how it may be received, like, and
yeah,
what you leave in and what you don't,
and what's relevant. I mean, tell this story? One of the ladies was family lawyer, and she shared that she'd had miscarriages and then she's never ended up having children. And so that was something, you know, very real and personal. But that was relevant to how good a lawyer, family lawyer, she is. It's weaving that personal moment into the drive that it's given her to ensure that children are in the safest possible place and that she represents children. So it's all got to be relevant as well. And then weaving that story. I didn't know. As I said, I've always been able to pull words out, speak words, but writing words, I can do that myself a bit, but looking at other people's or hearing what they say and then molding it, I didn't realize that I could do it as well as I can.
It's
other people's stuff, I suppose, a great way to describe that is my strength, is just finding the gold in things.
Yeah, that's interesting, because unless you had specifically brought that point up, because like people listening, including myself talking to you, like I didn't necessarily pick that up, maybe because you didn't say it, but that point, that's of interest to me too, because then that's like a bit of a different sort of skill set. That's like a good, from my perspective, it's kind of that more intense willingness to think, to try to get inside the other person's head and like understand and and being able to translate what they're thinking about, because not everyone's good. Like heaps of the majority of people might be, okay, like they could write and things, but they would never describe themselves as a great writer, being able to actually express things, because that's in itself, that's like a whole other skill set. But then being able to understand what potentially that is from their writing and from knowing them, and then reinterpreting it, is maybe a bit like a translation from, like, say, French into English in its own way. Because, how there's different languages, there's different meaning actually applied. It's not just like a straight translation. Like, it's often there's other meaning that you only understand when you actually know how to speak French, like, properly. It's not exactly the same thing, but it's still the same idea of going, okay, because I'm a French speaker, or I'm, person A is thinking, and you're not inside their head, but if you understand their method of expressing stuff, you're like a step closer to then going, oh, I know what they mean, and now I can use my words to reinterpret that for them, if that makes sense.
It does make sense to me. It's being able to hear within written words, or hear as people are saying what they're saying, but finding that relevance, that connection, and I think that's particularly is the skill. And when we do the retreats, we're away with people, the women, for four days. So you really get to know them well.
That's a fair bit of time, isn't it?
It is. It is, particularly because we have fun. We have a cocktail party on the first night, and everyone gets to know each other. And then my training day is quite intense. And then everyone creates their stories, and then it's fun with the fashions and the makeup and all of that and the photographs. And while all that's happening, for everyone else, I'm editing everyone's stories. They put them together.
Oh, are you really? Like on the spot when you're there?
Yeah, I get them all done.
Oh, as is.
Yeah. But even the photographer puts together the brand book, and so people they take it home, basically.
Oh, that's cool. That's I can only sort of imagine in that environment too, like having, I'm exposed to some of, that over the years with different clients and other people like yourself, like when people are able to have something captured for them, whether it's what you're doing or something visual or something auditory or a song or a video, like it's something really special when people don't fully, like they don't have the words to articulate why it's spot on or why it's, but they do know it when they hear it or see it, like they're like, yes. And it's, it can sometimes be something that they haven't necessarily thought of heaps, but when they see it, they're like, oh yes, like I don't know why, but like that's me. It's like looking in like some interesting weird sort of mirror and going, oh wow, I never or didn't see myself like that. I'm like, no. A lot of us don't, like you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, you generally think about stuff that's going on, but you don't, it's not your job, because you're just usually in the thick of it, like the family and clients and etc., and you're just doing your thing, and then somebody else comes along and like this third party observations about you after talking to you and understanding, and then that realization is really powerful.
I hadn't really thought about exactly what you're saying, but that is the most powerful part. The first year we went away, I had one lady get down on her hands and knees, like in a prayer mode, and do this, sort of praying to me as to go honoring me for what I'd written, because she didn't see herself that way until she read it and then saw herself.
Mm.
It was such an honor.
It is powerful, and it is kind of, it's like, it's, it almost feels like the, like it's a gap in people's, well, not a gap, but like something that they may have intuitively known, but they've never consciously had any reason to think about it until there's like some catalyst, like you're doing something, or, you know, someone writes a song about them, or like some moment where they've got a reason to reflect, like, but it's in a way that seems to be like more, a lot more powerful, because it's coming from an external party who then, and maybe it's also got something to do sometimes with that, that realization comes in some shorter time frame. Like it's not the person they've known for years. It's like, I know you really well, you know, I understand you. But like there's, you know, people, everyone has a certain complacency because you're not like, you don't have reason to look for, you know, more in-depth things. Like you're just living with somebody, and, you know, it doesn't mean that people don't care about each other, but like you don't often have a reason to do that. But then when
you don't have bias, probably is a good way to say that.
True. No, that's right. Exactly. That is true, because like everyone does, everyone's got like preconceptions about, you know, people they care for, other people, other types of people, like you'll have them to some extent, which helps just to get like through the day, because otherwise you're completely reinventing every single thing you see and experience, right? You're just like, oh, you know, you have to have some like stored understanding of stuff. Otherwise you'd probably go crazy. It'd be
And we don't know or trust our innate ability. There's, especially if we've been doing something for a long period of time. What is easy for us is not necessarily easy for someone else to do. And not recognize, and we don't recognize that. But it is that third party looking in, going, one of the ladies going into a CEO role, and she that was the one that was bowing and praying, actually. And she didn't see a lot of value, but she had a disabled son, and included that in the story that she listened to me. And she didn't want that included in the story about him. But the content of it was that her learnings from with her son who was special needs, and has enabled her to communicate more effectively, you know, be able to have a lot more patience with people, like all of these skill base that she did not recognize within herself because of her lived experience. And I say to everyone out there listening, you have those skills that you do not necessarily recognize that other people can't do. That, and to honor those. I was at an event years ago, and they were talking about the mind thinking too much. And you know, most people do that. I put my hand up with it. But what I learned that day is I actually put things in little filing drawers. And I go, oh, open that filing drawer, do that, close the filing drawer, move on to the next thing. And if the filing drawer is closed, well, I'm not going to think about it because the filing drawer is closed. But if I get an idea for something that needs to go in that filing drawer, then I'll open the filing drawer, pop that idea in, and put it close again. And I didn't know everyone doesn't think like that. I did not know that. It's just so easy for me to do that. And it's quite bizarre, I've found out since.
It sounds like your mind was the early precursor of like the CRM.
Yes.
If only you had to, but like that's, but even, even then where people have little things, I mean, my mind is very kind of generally busy all the time, sometimes about like all sorts of general sort of random scenarios where I go down a different path, which is, I've realized is probably why I like doing the podcast, because it's an opportunity to go to different
wherever it goes. I'm the same. Yeah. I'm the same with my podcast as well. Absolutely love that. Yeah.
That's one thing that I have actually reflected on, where I've gone, oh, that's probably one of the only like points in my life where I can do that, and people won't be going, you're sort of talking a bit too much or carrying on a bit too much, because like that's why you're there, like to listen to people talk about different things. Because I think, like, you know, and that gets back, I think, to the age old sense, you know, the beginning of people, of stories that people resonate, that they, those like learnings from stories that are passed on, you know, oral history, which is, you know, has been around for a lot longer than, you know, than I think people realize, before like heaps of cultures had anything written. Most of it was like passed down. So like the nature of having story or stories was far more significant than like our use of them these days. But I think like kind of at the heart to make a bit of a correlation between what people inherently feel about stories and what you do, I feel like there's a strong, like you're kind of pulling it back to specific purpose then for people, you know, where they're going, they, and people just assume, well, I don't have a story, like where they might go, I don't have a story. Or like when people go,
everyone's got a story.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Of course they do.
Everyone's got a story.
But that's a common, but and people might kind of know that. But the point really is like, and you sort of hear this this idea too, and people thinking about personal branding, and they're going, oh well, I would, there's this thing that you have to create a personal brand, and that's true. But they already have one. Right, they already have one. It's just not manifested in any form for people to learn about. Like they've got one. It's all in. Because before we started talking, and I was just sort of thinking about, I was like, Janine, just looking, you know, doing research, blah blah blah, just looking at what you do, a little bit more, a little bit more information. I was thinking about personal branding, and I was going, people do obviously have one. They have one, but they don't. It's not put in any form where people can take it in, or it's not crafted. It's like the piece of, I often think about things like that. And also in terms of visual things, think of it like the point at which, say, a sculptor starts a sculpture. And if they're not adding onto it, say it's a piece of clay or a piece of stone, and it's in a generally shapeless form, and like it's there, but it's not, it's sort of has to be revealed by the sculptor who takes things away to reveal, like to put it into a crafted form where it's very clear what it is, like it's actually sitting under there.
Yeah, the taking away is probably the better example than adding to. It's And look, it's so, and just that everyone's got a story. I worked with somebody the other day and we spent 2 hours and I just listened to her talk about different things within her business. And then when she went away, I then wrote 4 pages of topics for marketing for her from the 3 pages of stories that I had written down. But this is the marketing. This is the relevance. This is the marketing. And there were stories. Every one of them was a story about immigrating to Australia, with her parents not being decisive, a whole lot of things, but you have to hear it. That it, she said, she, and it'd be like everyone thinking, it's not relevant. It, nothing I'm saying is absolutely relevant. You can make, and if you're pitching, you can make anything relevant. It just takes practice. And I tell people to start collecting, have a spreadsheet of stories. When you're first starting out, you need to have something you can keep referring back to. So if I was doing a pitch about my business, let me think about, okay. So today I mentioned earlier, I had a great game on the golf course. I was playing with another lady. I was sharing a cart with her and she started off so badly. So she's just got into this real, oh, this is an absolute waste of time. I'm not enjoying it. It's not, no fun at all. And she hit a couple of tens and then picked up the ball and didn't want to play and was ready to head home. And I think sometimes we're like that in business, aren't we? There's all these things that keep piling up on top of us, and we're ready just to cash it all in and walk mm-hmm. away. But then what she did was she changed the way she was thinking about it. So the next hole, she's had a great result. And that's what it's like in business. We need to have that opportunity to step away sometimes, think about it, and then we don't know what's coming up for us. But we need to make sure we take the right steps and we have the right people behind us. We get the right lessons, right knowledge. And that way, when we are moving forward, we're moving in the right direction. Yeah. That's what I do, Saul.
nicely woven. basket of knowledge was nicely woven, Janine. But it's really true. Like the actually, I just wanted to ask you something when you were saying that. Is it with the ups and downs like everybody goes through, which is fairly normal. And I just had this thought then, like obviously nobody wants to engineer the bad times so they appreciate the good times more, because that would be sort of nuts. You know, that'd be, well, or would it be? But like that, but I'm sure that, but it's inevitable anyway. That does happen even when you're on, you know, something great and everything's going well. It's inevitable just because of the nature of unknown factors, other people you meet, you know, things that are completely out of your control, you know, that not so great things will happen. So like the acceptance of those things, I've found when I've reflected on that and going, oh, I'm having a crap day, whatever reason, like any number of reasons, how important is like the contrast between like the good days and the bad days in generally, you know, improving the good days? It's like the idea of going, you don't know what the brightness of something is unless you've experienced things that are dark, like even night and day. People wouldn't have, and this is getting pretty, philosophical, apologies.
I actually had a conversation nearly on this same subject the other night. So.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. No, but this is, but it's really, this is something I think is really, really true, is that you wouldn't have, like even say with like actual physical night and day, you wouldn't have as people wouldn't actually have a concept of day or night if we didn't have both. If there was just like, if there was just day all the time, you wouldn't have a concept of what we now, you know, just in culture and life as the night or the other way around. So unless you've got a contrast to something, you can't necessarily appreciate or not appreciate it unless there's a contrast to it, because you don't have anything to compare it with. It's just all the one thing the whole time. And I feel like that's kind of, and it's not saying, and like I said before, it's not going, oh, well, we should like have more bad things and then you appreciate the good ones, because I think that's kind of silly. But they're going to happen anyway. So, but they do, but their role is what, the question I suppose is, how important do you feel that contrast between those things is in order to give more meaning to the things, like the place you want to get to more, the good place?
I'm going to refer back to that being hit with a brick or a feather or a brick or a bus. There's, I think a lot of the times we ignore the things that are coming at us and we either keep going and doing the same things the same way that we've always done them. And then my beliefs, the universe comes along and goes, hey, here's a feather. I'll just give you a bit of a nudge to tell you to do something different. Otherwise you're going to end up in a bad situation. And you don't pay any attention. Things continue on and then you might get hit with a brick. And that might be the next reason for you to go, right, this is something wrong. Or if you're not listening and paying attention, then it's the bus comes along. And a friend of mine was literally not a bus, a car. And he was just exactly that, doing things that was damaging, but not paying attention to the opportunities that were coming up his way. So I am not necessarily, I get what you're talking about, the light and the dark, and that you do need to to find the joy, see the joy is had something that you come from to be joyous on. But I'm really a big believer it's all about your attitude. There's a great book called Happy But Not Rich by Marcia Smirnoff, which I'd suggest as a good reading material. And it's there's only one thing you can ever change. Now, any situation, you've got three options. You can move away from it, you can move towards it, or you can change your attitude towards it. And if it's not going well, then you can do all of those things. But changing your attitude towards something like this lady on the golf course today, she changed her attitude. Her game was phenomenal after that. That's the only thing we've really got control over.
Yeah.
It's just, and we, you know, not that we can do that all the time. Sometimes we do need to be in a funk. There's a topic I teach on spiral dynamics, and we do need to go into our red and do a little stamping of feet and tantrums and things like that. We just don't stay there. But it's being consciously aware of your decisions that you're making to figure out why you're making those decisions. And do you want to stay in that funk, or do you want something to be different?
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, that in my sort of simplified metaphor that I was using, I didn't, mention that other really important factor. But that's kind of, it's almost everything really, because you're looking through the lens at something and one person is looking at exactly the same thing as you are, and their perspective on it is completely different. I think that's as far as a good set of metaphors and things to wrap up generally, like how to explain like what you do, and I guess like why you do it too. Those, because on the podcast, I like to be able to, and for people listening, get to a point where people have a better understanding. I suppose like to help people understand your story too, like in and like everything we're talking about. So maybe I'm almost doing your job today for you.
I think so.
Maybe I am.
My why is, part of what I've said. I can't not do it. I'm very fortunate to be in a situation where I can choose to work or not. And I've built a lifestyle business. I travel a lot and fit my business around my lifestyle. When I'm working on business, it's fully intense and I'm in it. I love working with my clients. And I've come back from long trips and I've sort of thought, maybe I just won't do this. And then I have a client on a Monday and I start working with some coaching. I go, I can't not do it. And we're planning 6 months away in 2026, traveling Western Australia. And I'm already planning how I can get in touch with all the local councils and community groups and rotaries and go, hey, I'm volunteering my time. I'm going to come along and do presentations for your people.
Once it's a part of you. Once it's a part of you, it never goes away.
That's my why.
No, that's great. Thanks, Janine. And actually, at this point, it's a good segue for you to tell us what I usually always do at the end of the podcast, to share some sort of quote or message that you want to give everyone that you'd like to share. So
it's a very simple one, Saul, and it is one that I have lived my life around. It's a Henry Ford quote. You're probably going to know which one I'm talking about. Mm. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, now I've lost it. What is it?
Lost for words.
Yeah, I am. It's basically saying what you think you can or can't do is exactly right. So if you think you can do it, and that's what that confidence factor that people say that I have is because I think I can do it. It's not that I'm arrogant. I just think I can. But if I thought I couldn't do it, then, I wouldn't hit a net 62 on the golf course today.
That's exactly right. Yeah, no.
You think you can or you think you can't, you're absolutely right.
I do know the one. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's nice and simple, but there's just simple underlying truths in that. And so for everyone listening to, like, we'll have this in the description too, but where do people go online to find out more about you?
You know what I do is I offer a free complimentary conversation, and if I can't help somebody with what they need, then I have the largest networking database that you can possibly imagine. I turn up to, you know, I turn up to the opening of an envelope. So I have networking contacts everywhere, but I may be able to help you myself. And that is to go to my website, JaneneVosper.com, and book a strategy call. And my name's spelled Janine, J-A-N-E-E-N, Vosper.
Yes.
Book a strategy call and we can have a conversation.
And we'll have the link there too for people to click on.
But, meet me on LinkedIn as well. If you enjoyed the conversation, go into my YouTube and give me a 5-star review to say, hey, I like the conversation, learn something. Listen to the We Are Women podcast, subscribe. There's Janine Vosper YouTube. I am everywhere.
You're everywhere. You are omnipresent in the networking, in the online world. Thanks, Janine. It's really, really, really great. And it's great to finally like have a really good chat with you too, and thanks like for sharing your whole story and all that. And I'm sure people have got like a really good picture in their minds now about what you do. And if they don't, listen to the podcast twice.
Absolutely.
There you go.
I loved it. Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's always great to be able to share and have these former conversations, Saul. That's why I love it.
Thanks everyone, and thank you as well for listening again to the Grow Business Podcast, and say goodbye to everyone, Janine.
Bye-bye for now.
See you, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Grow Your Business. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time here at the Grow Your Business Podcast.